Today is the New Year's Day of the church year. It's a new beginning, this first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a word that's taken from the Latin, adventus, which simply means arrival. And if you would look in a dictionary, you'd find that they would define the word Advent this way. It's the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. For the Christian, Advent is the arrival of a notable person and a notable event. In the first Advent, God arrived in our world. He broke into our world as a helpless infant at Christmas. And during the church season of Advent, we watch and we wait for Christmas and the celebration of the gift of the Christ child for us. A gift which came to full fruition in his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, salvation, and eternal life. Of course, these are all historical events, so we, in a sense, watch behind us, looking back to the empty tomb, looking back to the cross, looking back to the manger. But we also look up and ahead, because as Christ came in humility in his first advent, so he will come in glory in his second advent from heaven, to which he ascended not long after his resurrection. No one knows the day nor the hour, but the time will come when the trumpet will sound, the heavens will be rolled back, and Christ will arrive in his resurrected body to judge the living and the dead. Immediately before his ascension into heaven, the apostles of Jesus Christ asked him a question. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. In his final words to the apostles, Christ didn't say, you know what, I'm coming back, so just hang around, watching and waiting. Watch and wait for my second advent as spectators. Rather, he said, get in the game. Be part of the performance. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. God is a God of new beginnings. The two advents of our Lord are new beginnings. When Christ broke into the world in his first advent, everything changed. And when he breaks into the world in his second advent, everything will change again. This first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of a new church year, and it's a good time to reflect, and it's a good time to look forward. Here at Good News, we can reflect upon what the Lord has done in this people. We can reflect upon God's sovereign reign here, and his gracious provision that has allowed us to enter this new church year with much hope and excitement. We're growing. We're building. We are working hard towards the call of another pastor. And for those of you who have maybe been here a year or two, this might seem like the norm, but it isn't, and it has not been. For those of you who have been a part of this congregation for most of its young 23 years of life, you know that at various points in our history, an assessment of the circumstances of this church would have been pretty dire. A very different story than what we are experiencing today. But for many, maybe all of us, new and old alike, any kind of change is tough. There is safety in operating in a framework that we know and understand. And I'd suggest that we find change at church harder than change in other areas of our lives. Because to church, we attach feelings of stability. It will always be the same. So we struggle when it isn't. We struggle with anything that causes feelings of instability. To church, we attach sentimental feelings. We become part of a church at a particular time in history and in particular circumstances with a certain group of people. And things just work a particular way at that time. We worship in a particular way at that time. So when things change, even changes that we could step back and say, okay, I can see these as objectively positive. At that same time, we might still fear the change. We might still fear that we are going to lose something. And of course, for those of you who have been here for 23 years, or the better part of it, new people means change. Now add to that what's going on out here. New building means change. A new pastor means change. And it makes us uneasy. I want to emphasize one word there. Us. Because you know what? All of this makes me uneasy too. It has caused me to ask God, what are you doing? It has caused me to wonder how all of this will affect me. And I think all of us are sort of like the disciples at the ascension. We're sort of standing around looking up with our mouths hanging open, wondering what could possibly be next. Think about what these apostles had experienced. The death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, life with him for a few weeks in his resurrected body, and now he's going up into heaven. What could possibly come next? Well, I think God has an answer for us. And it's the same one that he gave to the apostles. But first, you'll notice that God had to use his angels to get their attention. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Do you know why they said this to the apostles? Because they were focused on the wrong thing. Jesus had given them a mission. And the angels are saying, quit standing around with your mouths hanging open and get to the work that Jesus has assigned to you. You are not called to be spectators. You are not called to be armchair quarterbacks. You are not called to be backseat drivers. You're not called to be critics of all that has taken place. You are called to a mission, and you are called to be missionaries. And we, today, have been given the same mission as the apostles. The same mission that they were assigned is the same one that we have been assigned. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This week, the Holy Spirit has prompted me in a number of ways. He's prompted me through the Word. He's prompted me through conversations that I've had with people, conversations that I didn't even expect to have, conversations with other believers. And some of these conversations have been with believers who are part of this church. Some of these conversations have been with believers who are not part of this church. And this has been the prompting. Good News Lutheran Brethren Church, we are on a mission from God. For those who smiled, thank you. This mission is not a building. This mission is not a second pastor. This mission is not a worship service. More than that, and maybe more than anything, this mission is not and will not be comfortable. It is going to constantly keep us moving. It is going to constantly keep us changing. And quite frankly, if we believe the words of Scripture, it's going to keep us suffering. If we are faithful to our mission, and our mission, quite frankly, is the meaning of Advent. Our Lord arrived. He came into a sinful and broken world, to a sinful and broken people, and He came for one specific reason. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's it. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save the lost. And when Jesus says, you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth, when He says, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them and teaching them, meaning use the means that I have given to the church to do these things, He is saying to you, join me on my mission to seek and to save the lost. One of the dangers in church life is to fall into the trap of thinking that this mission is about us. This mission is about us. This mission is about our needs, our comfort, our desires. This mission is not about us, and it is not for us. Our mission is about everything out there. This mission is about the lost. This mission is for the lost. Now, each and every Sunday as we gather, God strengthens us for that mission through His means of grace and the Word and the Sacrament. He builds us up. He equips us through the teaching of the Word. He encourages and exhorts us through the fellowship of the believers. You don't go to church to do the mission. You go to church as a part of the church to be reminded that you were once lost, but now you have been found. You were once blind, but now you see. You go to church to be assured that you have the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Christ and all the work that He has done for you. You go so that you can then be sent. You go so that you can be sent in the strength of the Lord. You don't go to church to do the mission. God does all of the work here. We get to participate. We get to receive the benefits of God's work here. But God does the work in this service. You do the mission outside of these four walls. And if your primary concern as a disciple, and if our primary concern as a church is not seeking and saving the lost, then we are not being faithful to our Lord and the very clear mission on which He has sent us. There is no confusing the language of these verses. Be my witnesses. Go and make disciples by baptizing and teaching. This mission is crystal clear. And the time is short as we look for the second advent of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. In His first advent, Christ came as the suffering servant in humility. He was despised. He was rejected. His glory was hidden from the eyes of the world. But in this, His second advent, when He comes again, He will return in great power and glory, and He will be visible to all. We know that the days leading up to this will be days of terror. The very heavens will be shaken. And yet those who are in Christ need not fear the last days, because the time of vindication is at hand, verse 27. And then He will send out the angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. The trumpet will sound and Christ will descend, and He will gather His elect, His chosen, His saved people. He will gather them from every corner of the earth to the ends of heaven. And these signs of His coming have been all around us, and they are presently all around us. Verses 28 and 29. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that He is near at the very gates. As the summer approaches in Palestine, the fig tree produces new leaves, which is quite simply a sign that warm weather is on the way. For us, we see it in different plants. We see it in the grass around us. For a lot of us, we know it when we start getting red eyes and start sneezing. We know warm weather is on the way. We know it's coming. So today, Jesus says, look at the state of the world around you. Look at the state of the nation. And you can see that He is coming soon, that we are in the last days. Verses 30 and 31, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now in this first verse, verse 30, we have what might be considered a both and kind of statement. Because the very people that Jesus spoke to had their entire world shaken in 70 AD when the temple in Jerusalem was totally destroyed by the Romans. It did not seem possible. The temple was a massive edifice made out of enormous stones, gold, things that appeared to people to be indestructible. And these very same people who thought temple's indestructible just because of its physical qualities felt that it was indestructible because who lived there? They believed God lived there. And yet, what did they see? They saw it torn down, stone by stone, everything burned to the ground, and it was surrounded by hundreds of thousands of dead bodies. Rome came in and utterly wiped out Jerusalem. So this very generation that Jesus is speaking to saw the end of their world. The Jews at that time were dispersed out of their homeland and throughout the entire world. But we too know that a day is coming when our world will be shaken to the ground. Nothing material is permanent. It says that heaven and earth will pass away, which means all of our possessions, all of our material things that we hold dear will be destroyed. There's one promise here. What will remain? His word. Only God's word will not pass away. And it is this very word that the Holy Spirit uses on the mission to seek and save the lost. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes." It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The Word is the only thing eternal, and the Word is the power of God for salvation. The Lord tells us everything that we know, heaven and earth will dissolve around us. But if you hold on to His word of promise, that you have been saved by Christ, and for His sake your eternity is guaranteed, you will be gathered with the rest of His elect on that day and taken home. But even as we see this world falling apart around us, we are not to concern ourselves with time and events. That takes our eyes off the mission, and the mission is to seek and save the lost. Verse 32, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. No one knows. Even if an angel would come down right now in the midst of our congregation and say, I know the day. Guess what? We shouldn't believe him. Because Jesus has said, even the angels do not know. No one knows. I don't care how brilliant some of these teachers sound that work with prophecy. They don't know. In fact, all they know is the same things that you know. All they see are the same things that you see. Christ says here, even in his state of humility, and remember, he made this choice to become man and to give up all of the knowledge that he had as God at that moment. In his humility, he didn't even know. Today, Christ knows. Christ knows when this day will come. Here's what we know. The signs are all around us. There are wars. There are rumors of wars. There are earthquakes. There are famines. There are other devastating events in nature. These are the leaves on the fig tree that Jesus is talking about. He's saying it's getting warmer. It's getting warmer, and it's going to be very warm soon. But he says, don't get hung up on that. Don't spend your time worrying about that. Keep your eyes on me and your thoughts on the mission. Verses 33 and 34, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Jesus says, don't guess days, don't guess hours, but always be ready. Always be on guard. Always awake. Our Lord, in his ascension, has gone on a journey, and he has left the church in charge of his mission. And he has left each and every disciple with his or her own work, and he has left one command, stay awake. Don't waste your time on what the Lord hasn't revealed to you. Instead, do your work. Seek and save the lost. From the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father right now. Right now, he is interceding for his church, and he is praying that the church would stay on mission, that it would not turn to the left or to the right, that it would never get distracted from our mission by the things of the church, but rather that we would be strengthened for mission by the means of the church. Every single one of us is called to arms. Every single one of us is called to be courageous in these last days. It is important to steward well what God has given us. But if we think we are stewarding what He has given us for anything other than the mission to seek and save the lost, then we need to repent. The lost are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We must go to them as he came to us. We must gather them into our fold as he gathered us to himself. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few because the laborers are you. And you are worried about many things, but not the one thing needful. Mark 13:35-37, "Therefore stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Don't be fooled into thinking, because Christ has not returned yet, that he will not return. His second advent is near. Stay awake. Use your time and your gifts wisely, proclaiming the gospel that Jesus saved a sinner such as you, and he desires the salvation of all. Our mission is the mission of Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost by going and making disciples, bringing them into the church, his body, where they can be baptized and taught, and guess what? Also now be sent to seek and to save the lost. To go to others and tell them Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much that he died for you and he rose again so that you would be forgiven, that you would have eternal life, that you would have salvation." So, what is God doing at Good News? Things are happening very quickly. Things are happening so quickly that it's difficult for me to get a handle on even one piece of what God is doing here. But as I've reflected on all that is taking place, I've been struck by something. When we talked about the building, much of the rationale for it revolved around our need for classrooms. When we've talked about the additional pastor, much of the rationale revolved around my need for assistance as we minister to more and more people who are part of Good News. When we've talked about growth, I think we've often been excited by what all of you new folks add to our fellowship. You know what? These are all good things. But they're all pointed inwards. When we are called to go outwards, We are called to seek and to save the lost, to make disciples. I just want to make a theological point here for those who are wondering. We can't save anybody. Only the Holy Spirit can change a heart. Only the Holy Spirit can bring the lost to Christ. Only the Holy Spirit makes disciples. But you know what? God has this amazing plan here. His amazing plan is that we will be the means by which the Holy Spirit will work. He says, you go out. You make disciples. Through you, the Holy Spirit will save the lost. He's chosen to work through His believers to do it. That means He's chosen to work through us. You personally may be the means that God has planned from the foundation of the world to bring your co-worker to faith. You may be the means that the Lord has planned to bring your friend to faith. You may be the means that the Lord has planned for your family member to come to salvation so that on that last day, he or she may be gathered with you from this little corner of the earth into heaven. So it leads to another question. Why, at a time when many churches are shrinking and contracting, are we growing? I think the answer is that it's because God plans to use us to seek and to save the lost. Why are we building? To seek and to save the lost. Why are we calling another pastor? To seek and to save the lost. Now I know some of us have been worried about one of these things, or maybe all of these things. And I'm going to tell you, you should be worried. If we as a church see growth, see a building, see staffing as being only a benefit to us. Because you know what? God will not bless pride. He will not bless greed. He will not bless covetousness. He will not bless laziness. So if we think that we're calling a pastor so that we don't have to do work, God's not going to bless that. None of that will be blessed. But none of this which we are doing is the work of our hands. It's God's alone. And you know what I believe God is doing? He is giving us everything we need to do the work that He has prepared before the foundation of the world for good news to do. All these things that He's planned for good news to do at this very time in history, He's giving us all of the tools that we need. And what's the mission? To seek and to save the lost. He has specific people in mind. Right now, there are people who are not here this morning, who are just down this road, that God is thinking of. And He knows which one of you will speak with that person. Which word of encouragement from Scripture that you will share, that the Holy Spirit will use to change that person's heart. As a church, may we never squander this investment that God has made in us. May we never squander these gifts that He has given us to steward. And then as individual disciples, may we never waste the time that we have. If we learn anything from this Gospel Mark today, let us learn that our time may be a lot shorter than we think. On that last day, the great majority of things that you are worried about this morning, the great majority of things that you are so committed to today, are going to seem like a waste. In that moment, it's going to seem like a waste of time and energy. So serve faithfully while you still can. The opportunities are right in front of you. Don't squander the opportunities. As we await the second advent of our Lord, let us stay awake, guarding against looking inward. And while we frequently glance upwards for the Lord's return, let's go forth from this place every Sunday, always keeping our eyes focused outwards on the fields that are ripe with harvest. And no matter how scary the world may get, how scary our lives may be right now, how scary it might get in the end, remember this. Jesus Christ defeated your sin. Jesus Christ defeated your death. Jesus Christ defeated the devil. He defeated all of them at the cross. And he has promised to be with you always to the end of the age. Amen.